ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we thank Allah and praise blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Today, inshallah, we'll commence the reading of the book Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, depending on the ikhtisar of Shaykh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. At the beginning, it reads that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الحافظ أبو عيسى محمد بن عيسى ابن ثورة الترمذي. So the book starts with a basmala. That is how many of the books of Sunnah have started. The authors have started them, commenced them with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And actually, the Shaykh of Imam al-Tirmidhi, al-Imam al-Bukhari, his main teacher, also started his Sahih by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he did not also include any muqaddima. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are just two things which make the scholars commence their books with it. The first is that iqtida'an bi kitabillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They follow in the book of Allah. You see, the Quran, every surah starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, except Surah At-Tawbah. And that is also by the consensus of the companions. Otherwise, what is established is that every surah of the Quran commences with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So because this is a book too, and Allah has started his book, his kitab, with a basmala, so they also start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The second consideration is considering the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his risala to Hirakla, he started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In other rasail too, he would write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So books are also given the consideration of rasail, like a letter. It's like Imam al-Tirmidhi is writing a letter to this ummah, and the matter he is discussing is Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. So he starts it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm sure most people don't write that now when we write letters. When we write letters now, we don't start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon which those who came after built, is that in their writings, in the letters they write, they start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, there is a hadith that is common. If we read many of the books of Sharh by Shaykh Uthaymeen, especially Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah and his Sharh on Usul Salasa or Salasat Al-Usul, you will find out that he was saying at the beginning that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah commenced that book, you know, because Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there's a hadith regarding it, that kullu amrin bi balin lam yubda'u bil basmala wa huwa aqta'u ajza'u kullu hadhihi al-alfaz, that any important mind pressing matter that's not commenced with the basmala is maqtu from Allah's rahmah, is cut off from Allah's rahmah. Others too did that, like Sheikh Salih Fawzan al-Fawzan. At the beginning of his commentary of Sharh al-Sunnah by al-Imam al-Barbahari, he also did that at the beginning of his Sharh of al-Arba'in. Arba'un, I mean Imam Sheikh Salih Fawzan al-Fawzan. And Sheikh Abdullah Duwayyan in his Manar al-Sabil, Sharh al-Dalil. So So, and that was why it became from the ahadith that Sheikh Al-Albani had to talk about in Irwa al-Ghalib. Sheikh Abdullah Adwayan wrote Manarus Sabil, Sharh al-Dalil. Al-Dalil is a book of fiqh by the Hanabila. It's a matter, a text of brief discussions on Masail Fiqhiyya. Its Sharh is Manarus Sabil. So the person who wrote Manarus Sabil is Sheikh Abdullah Adwayan. So because the author of Ad-Dalil commenced with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in his own explanation, he gave that hadith as evidence for that person's commencement with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So Sheikh Al-Albani had to do the takhrij, because in Irwa ul-Dalil, his duty is to give a takhrij of ahadith through Manarus Sabil. So he had to comment about that hadith. So he ruled that the hadith is munkar. About some of the scholars even mention it to be a fabricated hadith. So it's not authentic to say. So many people did that. Al-Imam al-Nawawi in his book, Al-Majmu', Sharh al-Muhazzab, the same thing. Al-Muhazzab is a book of fiqh in Madhab Shafi'iyah. It was written by Imam Abu Ishaq Ash-Shirazi. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi did a sharh of his book, of that book, Al-Muhazzab. It's one of the best books of fiqh. Yani Al-Majmu'. I didn't hear your tahmid. So it's one of the best books of fiqh, Al-Majmu' by Imam al-Nawawi, Abu Zakaria, rahmahullah. I think we mentioned it when we were talking about the books he authored at the beginning of Al-Arba'un. So at the beginning of that book also, the author of Al-Muhazzab, the author of Naam Al-Muhazzab mentioned Bismillahirrahmanirrahim at the beginning too. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah was also saying that the reason why this Al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Shirazi started with the Basmala is because he got this hadith. And he in Al-Majmu' mentioned that this hadith is Hasan. And that's why if you look at the Hawashi of these books of Sheikh Uthaymeen, you see those people who did the Hashia, they will say that this hadith has been authenticated by some of the scholars like Al-Imam al-Nawawi and Al-Imam al-Suyuti. This authentication is not correct. So if you want to read extensively on that hadith, go to Irwa al-Ghalib. Very extensive. And that's why all those who had come after Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah, if they have to talk about that hadith, they don't bother themselves. They say, just go back and read Irwa. Because he did a very extensive job to prove that that hadith is not just weak, but very weak, munkar. So munkarat are just next to mawduat in terms of their weakness. So the correct thing to say is are those two things. That the reason why the scholars commence their books by saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, the first reason is that they follow Allah's book. That his book commences with what? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The second reason why they commence their books is that they consider the books to be like letters, Rasail. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam used to commence his book, his Rasail, his letters to people, by saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So qala al-hafiz Abu Isa Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Thawra at-Tirmidhi. So it's saying that Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, we've talked about him, we've talked about his kunya, his name, and all of this. Here, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah did a dubt of that Tirmidhi. He said it is the Kasri Ta Ko. So he call it Tirmidhi. If you look at that Hashia, he mentioned it. He said, Ismu Baladin Qadim, ala Nahri Balkh. We told us about that. That Nahru Balkh is also called Nahru Jihun. In English it is called the Oxus River. And we mentioned where it is. It's around the boundary between Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, that river. But the city is around the upper side of Uzbekistan. I mean, Tirmidh. So he said, Shamali Iran. It's in the northern, north of Iran. It is north of Iran. Uzbekistan is Turkmenistan is directly above Iran, and to northeast we have Uzbekistan. So we have from northeast, you have Uzbekistan, you have Turkmenistan, then you have Iran. So he says north of Iran. So what is far north of Iran. Far, far north of Iran. So he said, وَهِيَ بِكَسْرِ التَّاء وَالْمِيمِ. So he said, it is the Kasri Ta, that will be At-Tirmidhi. We said that is the Mashhur. That is what is most popular. But that the most correct thing is what Abu Sa'd As-Sam'ani mentioned in his book, Al-Ansab, that it is what At-Tirmidhi. Rahmahullah. People like Al-Imam Al-Albani, it is difficult that we will see now in one of the ahadiths we read. If they say something, it's difficult to say it is not like that, except the evidence is too clear to say that it is like this and not what they say. Rahimahullah. So it says, Babun, the first chapter. Babun, ما جاء في خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما جاء في خلق رسول الله. What has been reported regarding the khalq of the Prophet Muhammad? You can see it has the huruf of khulq also. So that's why he made the dot that it is khalq, meaning the nature of the Prophet. Khulq is also a person's nature, but you don't see khulq. That's one major difference between khulq and khalq. Khulq is a character, like someone's patience. Do you see patience? No. Like someone's honesty. You don't see honesty. So these are characters you don't see, but they are innate in him. But his khalq, you see it. You see those things in him. So ما جاء في خلق رسول الله. What has been reported regarding the nature, the innate character of Allah's Messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth hadith he picked, a very wonderful hadith with a wonderful isnad. That hadith was reported from Imam Tirmidhi, reported it from one of his teachers, Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. And Qutaybah reported from Al Imam Malik ibn Anas. And Imam Malik reported from his very close teacher, Rabi'a. He used to be called Rabi'a al-Ra'i. Many of the scholars of hadith don't like using that word for him. Don't like using that word al-Ra'i for al-Imam Rabi'a. Because to them, to ascribe somebody to Ara is despicable. That what is praiseworthy is to ascribe somebody to Asar and hadith. In Baghdad, when Imam Radi'a left Baghdad, so one of his students came there and people began to ask him to Hadithna an Radi'a al-Ra'i. Tell us about Radi'a. Give us a hadith from Radi'a al-Ra'i. So he decried, he didn't give them hadith. So he stopped them from saying that he is Ra'i. That he will not give any statement, is illa walahu fihi hadith. He will not give any statement except that regarding that statement, he has a hadith. So why are you ascribing him to Ra'i? So, but today people are proud to be R-O-E-U. That is people of opinions, opinionated people. So Al-Imam Rabi'a reported that hadith from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Khadimur Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Anas ibn Malik, we know about him. He served the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We intended to start talking about the assignment, but I was feeling that it will be taking our time. We have a long way to go. Ash-Shama'il is not like Arba'un. If we want to be making fawaid, sometimes if we just have the chance to make the fawaid and just go. But today, let's just go on, please. There are a lot of fawaid in that isnad. That isnad of Qutaybah ibn Sa'id from Imam Malik ibn Anas, from Rabi'a al-Ra'i, or Rabi'a al-Madani al-Tamimi or al-Taymi to Imam Anas ibn Malik, Sahabi, Khadim al-Rasul, alayhi salam. We know that Imam Anas ibn Malik, the Sahabi, he lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. from age 10. When he was 10 years old, he came into the house of the Prophet. And after 10 years after the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, that's evidence that he spent 10 whole years, a decade, inside the house of the Prophet Muhammad as a young boy, being trained and in servitude to the best of men. That was why, firstly, he had the opportunity of attending the Battle of Badr, when people like the next reporter of the Hadith, Al-Bara ibn Azib, were sent away. Al-Bara ibn Azib and Abdullah ibn Umar, Bara himself said it, radiallahu anhuma, that he was turned back from partaking in the Battle of Badr because of his age. In another Hadith, they were said to be less than 15 at the time, himself and Ibn Umar. But Anas ibn Malik, who was just 10 at that time, because you know the Battle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Medina in Rabiul Awwal, and Badr took place in Ramadan. So he said he was 10 years old when the Prophet came sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started staying in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see, he's just about 10 years and few months old. So he was able to attend when people who were just around 15 could not attend. So there are so many things that when you do some things, Allah gives you the opportunity to be able to do it, even when others around you are not able to do that thing. What was that thing? Khidmatul Rasul. So when people say no, he was not, he said no, he will say I was there. I saw what happened. Even when he was said to be a cook, he was not from the soldiers. He was cooking for those who were fighting. But he will say I was there. But he was there really. Wasn't he there? Because there's a dua that comes for the people of Badr. So he counts himself from amongst them. If Alu Mashetum Kod Gafar Tulakum, that the people who partook in the Battle of Badr have been told, do anything you like, I've forgiven you. That's why he said, I'm there. Oh. Of course he's there. Can you say he wasn't there? He went with them to Badr. He was cooking, yes, he was not fighting, but he was there. And what the Hadith says is that Ahlul Badr. So how you want to remove him is the trouble now. Yes, he can say he was not fighting, but he went. When he was leaving his house, he knew that they were going to fight. And he was going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was in the army of Muslims. Is there any army in the world that does not have doctors and cooks? Even at the battlefield. Is it every army that goes to the battlefield that fights? So he is saying he was there. Others will say, no, he was not fighting. He said, oh, now you sabi, I was there. He was asked many times. Well, he say, yes, I was there. I was doing so and so. So he was there. Allahu alam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him because of what his mother did. His mother brought him to be a servant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were giving money, house, and all that. He said, this is my son. He can serve you. She was investing, actually, because at the end of the day, she told the Prophet, pray for him. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma barik lahu fi malihi wa waladihi wa adkhilhu al-jannah. Say, oh Allah, bless his wealth. He said at one time that in the whole of Medina, I don't know any person who is as rich as I am. Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hamza. That's his kunya. Radiyallahu anhu. I don't know anybody who is as rich as I am. And for his children, he had over 100 children. Yes, Anas ibn Malik, and grandchildren. Only Allah knows their number. He says, I have seen the two, I'm waiting for the third one. That is, Barik lahu fi malihi, he was rich. Ko, wa waladihi and his children. Wa waladihi and his children. And then, wa adkhilhu al-jannah. I said, that is the one I'm waiting for. So, he was a very prestigious person. And vis-a-vis this hadith, it meant that he had the opportunity to see the Prophet Muhammad. 10 years he was with him. So he was seeing him every day. So he wants to tell us how the person he served for 10 years, how he was. So he said, radiallahu anhu, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Laysa bitawil al-ba'in. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ليس بالطويل البائن that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ليس بالطويل, he was not tall, al-ba'in, that is the one who is taller than every other person, such that I say he's tall, if he has to be talked about, he's tall. He was not like that. ليس بالطويل al-ba'in, he was not excessively tall, he was not the one that could be said he's tall. Al-ba'in is being taller than all the rest of the people, because he exceeds the rest of the people in the attribute of tallness. He's not like that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wala bil qasir. And he was not a short person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not excessively tall, and he was not a short person. Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar has brought a riwayah very, very nice in trying to make us further understand what this meant. And that hadith was reported by al-Imam, by Abu Huraira, Hafiz al-Ummah, radiyallahu anhu, by al-Imam al-Zuhli, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Zuhli, one of the teachers of Imam Bukhari, and then one of the teachers of Imam Muslim. But from whom, if you look at Sahih Muslim, you won't see his hadith there. Imam al-Zuhri. He has a book called Al-Zuhriyat. His riwayat from Al-Imam al-Zuhri. In that book, he said, Kana Rab'atan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Rab'ah. The meaning of Rab'ah is what we have been told in this hadith. Laysa bit-tawil al-ba'in wala bil-qasir. That is the meaning of what? Rab'a. So the Prophet was Rab'atan. وَهُوَ إِلَى الطُّولِ أَقْرَبُ. He was closer to be said to be tall than saying that he was short. So he's not tall, he's not short, but his average height. He's closer to be said to be tall. He says, وَهُوَ إِلَى الطُّولِ أَقْرَبُ. He's closer to be said to be tall than saying that he was short. But he was not a tall person. He was not tall nor short. If he stands, he's not saying, oh, taller than everybody. This hadith, you see, these things, they are very important. I remember someone narrated that he, in his dream, he saw the Prophet Muhammad. He saw someone who people were running after him, thinking that he was the Prophet Muhammad. Then when he went to see the person, he saw a person is tall. He said, this is not prophet. He was taller than every other person with turban, saying, you are not prophet. You are a liar. He alone in all the rest of the people. He know you are a liar. Why? Because the prophet cannot be said to be tall. So he's not a tall person, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if those Sufis who dream and say they saw the prophet, we are not saying someone can't see the prophet in a dream, but you must be able to know what you see. If you see one short man, one dwarf going on the street, say, oh, prophet, in your dream, you also know that it's a lie, it can't be prophet. Because it's not what, laysa bil-qasir, wala bit-tawil al-ba'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not tall. Now, wa huwa ila tuli akrabu. So he's closer to being tall than to be short. So he's wasat. So, to say he's not tall, he's not short, is what is referred to as what? Rab'a. Rab'atun. Now, it said that wala bil abyad al amhaq. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not al abyad al amhaq. Al abyad is being whitish. You know, the white. Al amhaq is albino styled whiteness. You know, if you see an albino, I'm sure we would have seen, we know what albinism is. In fact, in the Arabs, they call an albino an amhaq. So it's not that kind of a whiteness. That is not the kind of the whiteness of the Prophet. A whiteness that la yukhalituhu shay, nothing mixes it. No, that is not the whiteness of the Prophet. Because the Arabs detested that somebody is an amhaq. Did he really detest it? So the Prophet is not. So when he says he's Abiyab, because you can say in some ahadith that he was Abiyab. But what they mean is not al-abiyadu al-amhaq. He was not white, that is albino styled white or albino kind of whiteness. No, that was not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wala bil adami. Similarly, he was not a brown person. The name of that's the meaning of Adam. Someone who is brown. Someone took a from this and said that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was brownish. When he described this brown color, he said it is like when a leaf is getting dried, that is what is meant by Adam. Allahu alam. But what Arabs refer to that is, in, as we shall see in the hadith that follow, al-asmar, that is being brownish. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not white and was not brown. In some other narrations, you find that he had tints. He had, you know, color patches of what? Brownness in his whiteness. Even when people like Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi said that, that is the areas where sun touches. Because there is another report that he is Al-Abiyadul Azhar. Al-Abiyadul Azhar is radiant white. His white was radiant. They say those are the areas where he wears clothes. And that is the fact. If you meet a white person, if you see the areas where they wear clothes, they are whiter than the areas where they don't wear clothes. So they say Al-Abiyadul Azhar is the areas where he does not wear, where he wears the clothes. And Al-Abiyadu or Al-Asmar, as we shall soon read, are the areas where he wears something. So the areas where he does not wear something, they have some more brownish tints, patches, tinges in it. But the areas where he wears the clothes are abiyad, radiant in the way they appear. So alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam is laysa bit-tawil al-ba'id wala bil-qasir wala bil-abyad al-amhaq wala bil-adam. So we put each of these in its place now. Wala bil-ja'd al-qatit. Al-ja'd al-qatit. Al-ja'd is that someone has is a kind of hair amongst the whites that is scovely. Al-qatit is extensively shadidul, yani in kebab. It's round, covely hairs. You know, if you see some of them, you see the hair very, very covely. That is not the hairs of the Prophet. It's not al-ja'd al-qatit. It's not somebody who has hairs that are covely, extensively covely. Wala bisabt. And at the same time, it does not have hairs that is slow, that is flowing. There is hairs are what? In between being covely and being, you know, flowing. You should see some of them, when you look at the hair, you cannot even see in between. Because the hair are so mustache like this. The flow. So his hairs are not curved. In fact, Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, the hairs of the Negro designed in his Tahzib al-Asma, that it is we, the Negroes, that have al-sha'ar al-ja'd, the ja'd kind of style, kind of hair. If you look at it, our hairs are very thick and curvy. Just take a strand, you see it. But if you take their own hairs, you see that those hairs are more extensive. They are light and more extensive. This is the reason why, if you say it is permissible for a woman to be palming your hair, because you read some fatwa of some of the big scholars, Hafizahumullah and Rahmahumullah, because there are some fatwa, perhaps with Femin, Sheikh Bumbaz, Lajna Da'ima, that you see that will show that a woman can palm her hair. I will say to you that they are not addressing you. Because they are talking to people with different kinds of hair completely. And the biochemistry of hairs differ. There are three kinds of hairs. There are mongoloid hairs, there are negroid hairs, our own kind of hair, and there are caucasoid hairs. Most of those people they talk to are mongoloids and caucasoids. We are negroids. Go find it out. The biochemical structure, composition of our hairs is different from theirs. So when a woman pumps the hair and then puts it under a heat system, you see that the texture of that hair will change. Go and read it. There will be bond breaking and a rearrangement of the bonds of that hair. And we know that when there are chemicals, heat changes are permanent changes. Heat reactions, when heat is brought into a reaction, they are permanent. It's one of the evidences. They say there are two types of reactions in terms of their permanence. There are reversible and irreversible. So, and those heat changes are usually irreversible reactions. So when you bring, you put the chemicals on the hair, you put the hair under the heat system, whatever, you see that the hairs will change. And that's why those who palm their hair forever, once you see that palm hair, you can differentiate it from a hair that is never palmed. If you look at the hair of your wife and you see it, any other woman that is palming her hair, it cannot be like that, like the hair that has never been palmed before. Even those people who are palmed before, if you look at the undergrowth, they are different. They are different. Because in the palming procedure, there is a stretching of the hair, bone breaking and rearrangement takes place. So this is evidence that those things, they are not referring to. If they were the ones, if a Caucasoid or a Mongoloid palms their hair is still the same. In fact, let them just take a soap and wash it. You see how the hair become curvy, and because their hair ordinarily is a lengthy hair, less curvy. But for we, our hairs are short and curvy. So when you do it, the priming process is to extend the hair. And this is from Tagiruma Khalakahullah. In Nisa, Allah told us about what Shaitan said, that wala umaniyannahum wala amurannahum fala yugayirunna khalqallah. I'm going to order them to change Allah's creature. So once you can confirm that the palming procedure changes the texture of the hair, changes the hair itself, then it will mean that it is prohibited. Just like bleaching. If a man or a woman starts bleaching now, you see, they call it lightening now, they are all the same. Bleaching, lightening, is they are the same. Toning, they are the same. They say it will not bleach you, it will just tone you. That's what they say. They are all the same. So these things have been studied. If you only need to take some time to study it too. Anyway, it's just like toning. So when you tone, you change the color of the skin. And when you see a person who has changed, who has toned before or bleached before, you will not be like the person who has never bleached. So the same thing applies to that procedure that women do. Allahu Alam. We are just trying to explain al-jad. That is like Imam al-Nawawi said, that it's like the hairs of the zanj, we the Negro. But the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam, is not so covey extensively. Wala be sabut, and in its sabutor, in its being free flow, is not so extensively free flowing. So it's in between the two. It's not tall, it's not short. His hairs are not free flowing and they are not tied closely packed together. So that's how he is in his hairs, alayhi salatu wasalam. He is wasafed by Nahuma. Al Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Rahim Mubakpuri, he said that wal murad anna sha'arahu, what is intended by this, that wala bil ja'dil qatt, you can say qatta, it's also permissible, imma qatta si or qatti si, the both is permissible. Now what is intended that his hair is, that it is not laysa fi nihayati fil ja'uda, it's not in terms of his being covely, it's not to the extreme ja'uda, to the extreme covely nature. Wala fissabotati, the same thing. In terms of his being free flow, it's not extensively free flow. It says balkana wasata. Rather, his hair is in between the two. Alayhi salatu salam. Wasata baynahuma. It says wa khairul umur awsatuha. And the best of all affairs are those in between. So it's not tall, it's not short. His hairs are not completely tied together and they are not completely free flowing. Anas ibn Malik continues, radiallahu anhu. He said, Ba'athahu Allah Ta'ala ala ra'si arba'ina sana. Allah raised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the dot of 40.
when he was 40 years, ba'asahu Allah Ta'ala. Allah the Most High raised the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he was how many years old? 40. There are narrations that he was 43. Some say he was 34. Some say he was. The A'imma say this hadith is rad for all those other narrations. Some of them are weak. Some of them have ittirab. Some of them have. If you check Fathul Bari, Imam al-Hafiz, Ibn Hajar, you see all these riwayat, who has reported them, and all of that. If you also read As-Siratul Nabawiyyah As-Sahihah by Dr. Diyaul Umari, you also see that he brought it. He mentioned one. Ibn Hajar mentioned almost 6 or 7 positions, rahimahullah, about the age of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he became a prophet. He was how many years old? 40 years old. Ba'athahu Allahu Ta'ala ala ra'si 40 sana. So that was when Allah raised him as a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ 10 سِنِينَ. So he stayed in Makkah for how many years? For 10 years. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ 10 سِنِينَ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed in Makkah for 10 years. Sheikh Al-Albani said, rahimahullah, if you look at that Hamish, Yat Hamish, he said, أَقَامَ بِهَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ. In another riwayah, أَقَامَ بِهَا 13. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed there for 13 years. فَتُحْمَلُ رِوَايَةُ الْعَشْرِ. So this report that has said that he stayed there for 10 years, تُحْمَلُ رِوَايَةُ الْعَشْرِ عَلَى أَنَّ الرَّاوِي. We are going to consider that the reporter who reported that hadith, حَذَفَ الْكَفْرِ. حَذَفَ الْكَفْرَ. Cut off the excess of saying 13. That is the kafra. So حَذَفَ الْكَفْرَ الزَّائِدَ عَلَى الْعَشْرَةِ. That is the excess over 10. He did what? He made half 40. Similar things were reported in talking about his age when he died. Some reported 60, some reported 63. So when you see 60, it is half full kafra. If you see 63, that is mentioning it the dub. So فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ 10 سِنِينَ. So he stayed in Makkah for 10 years. He stayed in Makkah for 13 years. But they are reporting 10 because they have made what? Houseful kafri. وَبِالْمَدِينَةِ 10 سِنِينَ. Why did we say that it's house? Did we just sleep awake and say, oh, that's a house here? Why did we say that it's a house? Why is Sheikh Lalwani saying that? He's not alone in saying that. Hafiz Ibn Hajar said it, Mubarakpuri said it, almost every person who has written on it. Imam Zahabi said it in Sirah Al-Amnubra, Ibn Kathir said it in Bidaya wa Nihaya. Many of them said it. Why have they said that it's has? The reason why this question is important is that because a lot of people you deal with today are Aklani you. They say they said 60. Didn't you see 60 then? Why are you saying it was that it's supposed to be 63? Or they said 10. Why are you saying that it's 13? We are saying that there is a has there because there is a riwayatun sabitatun yusbitu. There is a riwayah sahiha that will make us understand that it was 13. So what happens with 10? Oh, there is has. Jam'an bayna riwayatayn. I hope it is clear. There is a riwayah that said that. If there is no riwayah, like he is staying in Medina for 10 years. He says, وَأَقَامَ بِالْمَدِينَةِ 10 سِنِينَ. There is no any other report that says he stayed in Medina for 12 or 15 years. He would have said the same thing like we said the other time. I hope it is clear, inshallah. وَتَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى رَأْسِ 60 سَنَعَهَا. وَتَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى رَأْسِ 60 سَنَعَهَا. Allah took his life on the dot of 60. When he was 60, Allah took his life. So what we said regarding his 10 years stay in Makkah is what we are going to say here, that what happened, that's why Sheikh Al-Albani brought it there again and said, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَهُوَ إِبْنُ ثَلَاثِ وَسِتِّ. In another riwayah, he said he was, when Allah took his life, 63 years, he said, وَهُوَ أَشْهَرُ وَأَصَحُ. It is the most popular and the most authentic. وَتُحْمَلُ رِوَايَةُ السِّتِّينَ. And this report of 60 will be understood ala anna rawi, that the reporter hadhafa zaida
alal ashrati aidan. He also made half. So as he made half of 13, so he mentioned 13, he mentioned 10, 10, 60. You can see, it's 10 stay in Mecca, 10 stay in Medina, and 60 years stay on the earth. So you can see there is uniformity. So that he was making half. First, that if he had stayed in Medina also for more than 10 years, he would have also made the half. This is known, it's from the ways of the Arabs. They used to do so. Even in modern mathematics, they say round it up to the nearest 10. So there is no any gumu there. There is no any difficulty in taking that, inshallah. وَلَيْسَ فِي رَأَسِهِ هُوَ تَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً وَلَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ عِشْرُونَ شَعْرَةً بَيْضًا. Allah took his life at age 60. لَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ, on his head and his lihya. The lihya is every hair on the hank, on the khad, if you like, on the cheekbone. The hair on the cheekbone is the lihya. So لَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ عِشْرُونَ شَعْرَةً بَيْضًا. Not on his head nor on his beard do we have 20 strands of hair. Not up to 20. دُونَهُ. In some riwayah 14, in some 17, in some 16, in some 12. So Mubafuri rahimahullah Abdurrahman, who wrote Tuhfat al-Ahwad, he said this is a simple matter, but just know that it's less than 20. You don't have to say, no, it was 17, it was 14. It was less than 20 strands of white hairs that he had. And from one of those things that made him to grow white hairs quickly was Surah al-Hud. He never read Surah al-Hud except that he cried. Alayhi salatu wasalam. You read Tafsir ibn Kathir, even the Salaf al-Salih, they used to say that from the signs of Nifaq is that when you hear Surah al-Hud, you don't cry. So they were used to, when they hear Hud, they cry. And it is really a terrifying surah. From the beginning, Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fufilat min ladun hakimin halim. Allah ta'budu illa. Look at declaration. From the beginning. And in the middle, he was telling him, fastakim kama umirta wa man taba ma'aka wa la tatgaw. He was talking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fastakim kama umirta. After telling him that I destroyed the people of Nuh, I destroy Hud, I destroy the people of Hud, I destroy the people of Salih, the people of Shu'aib, the people of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, all of them. And look at what he was even saying when he was talking about all of the manner. It was not as if he had not described it before in other places in the Quran. In fact, in Hud, he mentioned that we have told you before, Nushiha ilayk, waja'aka fi hazi al-haq wa mawizat. We told you here again in this surah. So that surah, each time he heard it, he cried, alayhi salat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked him, there are some riwayat of these hadith that are not authentic, mentioned in Silsilat al-Da'ifah. And there are some riwayat of it that are authentic, mentioned in Silsilat al-Sahihah. So, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asking, you have started growing white hair. They say, shayyabatni surah al-Hud. Surah al-Hud make me grow gray hair. Wa ikhwatuhu, and his sisters. He mentioned two or three surahs after Hud. But the major one is Hud. Look at it. Allah was telling him, fastakim, be steadfast. Because we have told you, so you here now, be steadfast. Kama umirta. You see, fastakim itself is sigatul amr. It says, kama umirta, as you have been commanded. Not only you, wa man taba ma'aka, and those who have accepted Islam with you, wa la tasgaw. Don't exceed boundaries. Innahu bima ta'maluna basir. He says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. So don't depend on wrongdoers. If not, I will burn you with the fire. So if you read the verses in Surah Al-Hud, some of them are very scary. So they made him grow gray hairs. So when he was dying, he had about less than 20 gray hairs, all of his hair and on his beard. They are not up to 20 gray hairs. So you see that he'll be looking handsome. Alayhi salatu. The Prophet will be looking handsome. with just some slight, you know, gray hairs. Look at the hairs, not thick, not, you know, completely free flowing. He's not tall, he's not short, and his color is nice, bright color. Alayhi salatu wasalam, not completely bright. He's everything, like Sahib al-Tawfa mentioned it. Everything is middle course, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not too tall, not too short, not fat, not slim, not in between everything. So that is the first hadith. The second hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik again. So in his own Mukhtasar, Sheikh Al-Albani said again that وَعَنْهُ يعني وَعَنْ مَنْ أَنَسِ ابْنِ مَالِكِ أَبُو حَمْزَةَ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَبْعَةً. We told us what رَبْعَة is. يعني لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ الْبَائِنِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ. So he is رَبْعَة عليه الصلاة والسلام. لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ. So all of this now, لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ is what? مِنْ بَيَانِ. If you like, call it عطف البيان. It will explain ربع. ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير. He was not tall and he was not short. حسن الجسم. His body is nice. In some riwayat, you can't find any blemish in him. His ear is like this, his nose is like this, his mouth is like this, His body is hasan, nice, upright in his body. وَكَانَ شَعْرُهُ لَيْسَ بِجَعَدٍ وَلَا سَبْطٍ. His hair was not jaad. We know what jaad is, not curly, extensive, extremely curly. وَلَا سَبْطٍ, no, extremely free-flowing. So this is what is referred to as رَجِلًا. Let me introduce another terminology. This is rajulan. If they say a man is laysa bil ja'ad wala sabt, then he's what? Rajul. We'll come back to it. When they say laysa bil abyad wala ahmar, is what? Asmar. We are coming to it. So wa kana sha'ruhu laysa bil ja'ad wala sabt. His hair was not ja'ad qali wala sabt, no, free flowing. Is what? Asmar al-lawn. Instead of saying laysa bil-abyad al-amhaq wala bil-ahmar ko wala bimada bil-adam. So they say he's asmar. You understand? That is the meaning of being an asmar al-lawn. Iza masha, when the Prophet walks alayhi salatu wasalam, yatakaffa'u. He walks moving forward. You say like someone descending a slope. If you're descending a slope, how do you walk? You see, your movements are fast. The slope moves you like someone descending a slope. That's how the Prophet moves when he's on the plane. He moves. In some books of Sharh, they say like a sheep. They say kafafinat in the jarihia. When like a sheep when it is moving. See, it moves like this. So the Prophet moves. He moves ahead when he's moving. And this will make us understand why Imam Bukhari brought a hadith that when he talks to people, he faces them. In Adabul Mufrad. If he talks to you, he's facing you. Because you see that movement, that way, that gait indicates that he's not a corner kind of person. Straight ahead. His movement is going. Like a sheep, if you look at a sheep going, or someone descending a slope, you see he's going. He's not turning left, right, he's just going. So that's how the Prophet was. Iza masha yatakaffa'u. Who is telling you this? Somebody who lived with him for 10 years. In his house. Not that he was going and coming like people like Umar radiallahu anhu. Um yakhtalifuna indahu aw alayhi. They go and come. But he was there in his house. And until around 6 to 7 years of Hijrah, for 7 years, he was entering every corner of his house until the verse of Hijab in Ahzab was revealed. So he really knows who he's telling us about. Radiallahu anhu. So we have the next hadith. That hadith is the hadith of
Al-Bara' ibn Azib. Bara' ibn Azib, we mentioned, is from those who wanted to partake. His father is also from those who were companions. So when we talk about Al-Bara', we say radiyallahu anhuma. So Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma is also Ansari. Anas ibn Malik is Ansari. Don't forget. Al-Bara' is also Ansari. From the young companions. Very young. These companions were the young ones, and they are Akhir man mata bil Basra, Anas ibn Malik. He is the last companion who died in Basra. Yes, in some riwayat of the dua the Prophet made for him, he also made dua for Tul al-Umr for him. Some say he lived for over 120, some say it is 110, some say, but ulama say he lived above 100 years. And he had over 100 children, so perhaps every year he has a wife giving birth to him. Children and grandchildren. Radiallahu anhu. So Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiallahu anhu reported this hadith. That كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, رجلان. We know what it means now. He's not saying رجلان. Yes, there's riwayah رجلان by Imam Muslim. And Hafiz ibn Hajar said there are also riwayah رج by giving the jim sukun. So it can be رجلان or رجلان or رجلان. They are all correct, inshallah. So كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلان. We know what رجلان is. What does it describe? It describes a sharp مربوعان. That is ربعتان. What does it describe? His height and his so Sheikh Al-Albani says rahimahullah that بُعَيْدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ بُعَيْد. The person who also said بُعَيْد instead of بَعِيد, as others have said, is Sayyid Imran. If you have this nuskha by Darul Hadith, Qahira, he said بُعَيْد too. But he had mentioned in his Muqaddimah that everything he is doing is following Sheikh Al-Albani. That is Sayyid Imran. But if you go to Nusakh Asliya, they say Ba'id. All other Muhakkikun say Ba'id. If you look at Sahih Bukhari, because this hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari, it's in Ba'id. But Sheikh Al-Albani said Bu'aid. You see, this Imam is a very difficult person to make Mukhalafa of. So I will not say that it is wrong until we can find why he said so. There are many things he will say, he will just say it. Perhaps 10 years later, that's when your own knowledge will reach there. I'm telling you, this is my own personal experience with this Imam Rahimahullah. I give you one example. And that was when I found it, I wrote it in my own nuskha of this book we are reading. When he said, I'll come back to Bu'aid and Ba'id. When he said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Azimu Jummah, that he had a great Jummah. The meaning of Jummah is that someone has hairs that are many, but around the earlobes. This is the meaning of Jumma. Now, he has hairs that are many around the earlobes. That's their general length. But some of it drop to his mankibay, to his shoulders. So, if you read others, they may not say that. If you read other books, other people who had mentioned, they won't say that it dropped up to the mankib. In fact, I listened to the share of this hadith by Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khudayf. When he was discussing that area, it didn't want it to look like being confusing. So that one, so what? I just stuck to this. Yeah, I will take this, that this is the meaning of Jumma. Sheikh Al-Albani said, rahimahullah, that Jumma bi dhammi al-jim wa tashdid al-mim wa hiya ma saqata min sha'ri ra'a wa wasala ila al-mankibayn. It's what falls from the hairs of the head and touches the shoulder. So until, if you read Fath al-Bari, you see riwayat that shows that. That is the correct meaning. So his own definition, he based it on what? Riwayah. If you go and look up books, some books of Garib, you may be surprised that they are not there. Just check the ones you have. They will just say the hairs that are around the earlobes. And that is what the first riwayah indicates. It says, Azimul Juma, ila shahmati uzunayhi. Uh-huh. So you see, his hair is Jumma is ila shahmati uzunehi, the two ear lobes. But he is saying that Juma touches the shoulders. But this riwayah indicates that it stops around the earlobes. So how do we resolve it? Go and check Fathul Bari, see what Ibn Hajar brought. He brought riwayat. And he said that there is a riwayat, yes, that he said in the same hadith that ila shahmati uzinehi, that he got into the earlobes. Yes, the Jumma got around the earlobes. Then he said, wafi lafzin zada ila mankibayhi. He said that area where that Imam Bukhari stopped at, shahmat uzunayhi, that it is riwayat mukhtasara, that it is a summarized riwayah, else that the complete riwayah is that ila mankibayhi, that the hair drops. So it means that the Jumma is what he is saying, rahimahullah, that is the hair that comes from the head and drops on the shoulder. Even when Ibn Hajar rahimahullah was saying that, it meant that majority of the hair was around the earlobes, but some of them dropped on the shoulder. But the fact is that it is still the sha'aru ra'as that got in zal up to the mankibay. And it will make you not be able to fault what he said. Do we understand? I'm trying to say that this Imam, someone that is usually very difficult, that when he says something, he didn't find it. I went to check the Nuskha of Imam Hafiz al-Yunani, Tahqiq of Sahih Bukhari, which was also proofread by Sheikh Ahmad Shakir and his father Mahmoud Muhammad Shakir. You find that they also wrote Ba'id ma bayn al-mankibayn. But he said Bu'aid. In fact, he put it there, dubbed there, Bu'aid. If you have this Nuskha that I have of Ash-Shamayil, Mukhtasar Sheikh Al-Albani, he says it is Bu'aid ma bayn al-mankibayn. Anyway, Ba'id, Bu'aid, it intends that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is broad chested, ma bayn al-mankibayn, between the two monkey shoulders, between the two shoulders is Ba'id or Bu'aid, from wide. So he's broad chested, alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is broad chested. That is from the symbol of manhood. Don't forget that he's been given the strength of how many men? 40. The Prophet ﷺ was given the strength. Who reported is Anas ibn Malik. And he told us that he would go around all his wives one night. 9 wives. ﷺ. Sometimes he will make ghusl differently and sometimes he will go around and make ghusl at the end. So he had his broad chest. He's a symbol of manhood. He was a man, ﷺ. Even in his movement, that he moves as described, is a symbol of manhood. That's why when you see a man moving tiki tiki tiki, you start asking, come, you be a woman. Are you a woman? Why are you moving like, move, go. So the Prophet would go, alayhi salam. So, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can go back to the hadith now. Rajilan marbu'an. We know what they mean. Rajilan, he had his ears not completely ja'ad and not completely muftarsal. Marbu'an, he's not tall, laysa bit-tawil al-ba'in wala bil-qasir al-shadid. Bu'aida ma bayna al-mankibayn. What is in between his shoulders is wide, that is what? Broad chested. Azimul Jumma, he had great hairs around where his ear lobes. The hairs, when the hairs of a white person drops and gets around the earlobe, it is called what? Jumma. But if it drops, the Jumma drops up to the shoulders. So his Jumma is get to where? Ila shahmati uzunehi. It gets to his two earlobes. We have said that some of them still drop up to the shoulders. Alayhi, the day that Bara ibn Azib saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi hullatun hamra, he was wearing hulla, hamra, reddish hulla. Hulla is garments, usually rida and izar, like Sheikh Al-Albani said. But the kind of clothes that was common among eminent people. It was eminent people that wore hulla. Usually two garments, one up, the other one down. So I saw him wear a reddish hulla. Ma ra'aytu shay'an. He wants to tell you what he felt when he saw the Prophet Muhammad Bara ibn Azib, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. I never saw anything that's as good, as nice, as handsome as the Prophet Muhammad. Never. I have never seen anything as handsome as he. If you read some ahadith, perhaps maybe as we go on, we'll come across those ahadith. Ali ibn Abi Talib has a riwayah where he said that the Prophet was looking like a moon. You know how a moon looks like? Bright. Yes, you can still look at it. It's bright, nice, but you can still look at it. That's how he was. And he is. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ عَنْهُ in another riwayah from Al-Bara bin Azib. The first riwayah is from Shu'bah, from Al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, from Bara bin Azib. This second riwayah is from Sufyan al-Thawri, from Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, from Al-Bara ibn Azib. So there are different riwayahs. In that he said, رضي الله عنهما ما رأيت من ذي لمة في حلة حمراء. He says, I have not seen any ذي لمة. لمة is when the hair, we said جمة is a kind of hair, that the way they keep their hair. We said جمة is most of the hair is around the earlobe, sadi, but it drops up to the shoulder. لمة is just all around the earlobe. It exceeds the earlobes, but it's not dropping on the shoulder. It's a little bit above the jumma in terms of its length. The limma is shorter. It's also called al-wafra. It's shorter than the jumma. But the jumma extends and gets to the shoulders. But limma, it leaves the earlobe, but it does not extend up to the shoulder. Have not seen any person that his hair is like this. في حلة حمراء, wearing a reddish hulla, أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is more beautiful than the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I've not seen anybody dressed like that that's more beautiful than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that's more handsome looking than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. له شعر يضرب منكبيه, he has a hair, he has his hairs do what, يضرب منكبيه, they touch his two shoulders. It means it is also what, jumma, that yes, it is limma, that most of it are around the hair loops, but he has some of it that do what, that drop up to his shoulders. He said bu'aid again. Take another line, he said bu'aid again. Say bu'aidama bain al mankibain. He has a broad chest. He says lam yakun bil qasir. He's talking about rab'a. Abi, he says, لم يكن بالقصير. He was not short, ولا بالطويل. And the Prophet ﷺ was not a tall person. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We read three hadiths. In fact, four in some terkin, in some numbering. Four. Alhamdulillah. I hope we can continue like this. But they are all connected to themselves. So it's easy to go from one to the other. This is where we'll stop, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we begin to have a picture of his person now. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We pray Allah to make us understand better than it's explained. We'll stop here, inshallah. And in the next class, we'll start with the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. All the ahadith are muttafaqun alayhi, each of them. Muttafaqun alayhi, muttafaqun alayhi, muttafaqun alayhi. Bukhari Muslim, Bukhari Muslim, Bukhari Muslim. All the ones we have read so far. Perhaps there will be one or two questions we'd like to attend to. Wa alaykum as-salam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, there's a hadith of Hani bintu Abi Talib, and it's reported by Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan. And Imam Tirmidhi mentioned it in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, but not with the Isnari. He just said, Wafil Bab. He mentioned this hadith of Hani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day he came into Mecca, she saw him. Or he came into Medina. I can't remember vividly, but the hadith is in Sunan al-Dawud. You can check it up. He saw that his hairs were plaited. In fact, Imam Abu Dawud made a tabweed into four. Those hairs are not our hairs. And they are not known to be from what men do here. Just like when Sheikh Bombaz was asked that, is it permissible for a woman to wear white throughout, white clothes? He said, yes, it's not wrong for a woman to wear white as a color if it fulfills all the conditions of hijab. He said, it's not wrong. He said, but here he's going to look like a man. He said, because in this country, almost every man you are seeing is wearing white. And that's true. He goes to Saudi Arabia, almost every man is wearing white jalabiya. So she will almost be looking like a man. And so she should not wear it, so that she will not be looking like a man. So similarly, we can say, you don't have the kind of their hair. If you plait the hair, we may not be able to say you have innovated. But the one who sees you will either be thinking that you are looking like a woman, you are copying a woman, you are behaving like a woman, or you are behaving like rascals. In this community, it is rascals that plait. If you say a man plaiting, it is a rascal, or a lesbian, or a homosexual, they plait. So, Allahu Alam, that is it. But if they are, then they plait. It may be difficult to say that it is wrong. It's there in the books of Sunnah. So one may not be able to challenge you, just like we may not be able to challenge a woman who wears white in that community also. But we know that she'll be getting into some things of Shubhat, or getting people into Shubhat. Either getting himself or herself into Shubhat, or getting others into Shubhat. Wal awla tarkuha. That which is best is to leave things that bring about that. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. Somebody is asking me using relaxer. You have to tell me what relaxers do to the hair. What do relaxers do to the hair? It softens the hair, and does what? Make it stretch. Aha. That temporarily is what you have to prove to me. I don't know how the Negroid hair can stretch and go back. Find out. You're a scientist. I'd like to hear from you. It does. He's saying that the relaxer returns the hair. The hair goes back to its original state. I've not read anything on that. What I did was on palming and entering under the, what do they call that thing? Oven. What is it called? Dryer. So, going under the dryer and all of that. But I've not taken the time to study. People, biochemists, help us find out something about that. And if we have someone who read anatomy or physiology, you can read more about that and tell us. We'll make benefits. If we can confirm that relaxers change, it will have the same, they change the hair, it will have the same. If we can confirm that they don't change the hair, then the ruling will not change. Allahu Akbar. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت